James, please. And listen, I can say with certainty tonight, we are going to finish chapter 1. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, we'll start in verse 17 and go through the end of the chapter, verse 27. And I almost made it last week. It just got bogged down a little bit, but that's okay. There isn't really a timeline, where we have to get done with this. We just need to kind of work our way through it. Amen. And we'll do so. This, I think you'll enjoy tonight's sermon having to do with this, because it's a curious wording here at the end of the chapter. But I think you'll enjoy what we have tonight. I'll read out loud. You follow along silently. Beginning of verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Whenever you hear this word about religion, right? And it's sometimes a word that we don't really care to talk about, right? Because it can be a hot topic, right? It can be a little difficult. But I want you to understand that if you'll take a look in the dictionary on your own time, there are several different definitions. But I found it interesting that in the 1828 version of the dictionary, Webster's Dictionary, that definition number one had verse 26 of James chapter 1 as a reference for definition number one. Definition number two had James chapter 1 verse 27 as a definition or as a reference to the definition for definition number two. So I'm going to read you definition number one about religion. And here it says in verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Okay, so using that verse, Webster wrote this definition. Religion in its most comprehensive sense includes a belief in the being and perfections of God. He uses capital G, God. Hooray. Okay? In the revelation of his will to man, in man's obligation to obey his commands, in a state of reward and punishment, and in man's accountableness to God, and also true godliness or piety of life, with the practice of all moral duties. It therefore comprehends theology as a system of doctrines or principles, as well as practical piety for the practice of moral duties without a belief in a divine lawgiver and without reference to his will or commands, is not religion. Okay, so that's an interesting definition of the word religion. You say that's a lot of words. Yes, it is, and maybe to absorb it, you need to look it up for yourself, okay? But let me just kind of sum it up for you. What Mr. Webster is saying is that religion is belief in God and all that God accounts for. Okay, see, that's what we need to understand. A lot of people will say, I believe in God. Or I believe there's a God. But do they really believe that there's a God? Because if they don't account for everything else that God says is, that there's a state of reward and punishment, that there's an obligation to obey, there's an accountableness to God, there's a true godliness and piety of life, there's a practice of moral duties, it comprehends theology, there's a system of doctrine and principle, there's practical piety, there's a practice of moral duties, and all of this stuff, this is what religion is. But see, that's not what religion means to most people, right? Religion just means some sort of belief system, right? In a deity of sorts. That's what they say religion is. But Mr. Webster attributes this word to the one true God. And to say, I believe in God, you really need to believe in God. And not just believe in God, but do. What did James say? Not just be a hearer, but a doer. So you see, these verses 26 and 27 don't stand alone. They go back to all that James has been saying before. And the wisdom of God and all these things and going through the different diverse temptations and the enticements and all the things. It all has to do with the same thing. So what is he getting to? He's a pastor. These folks just came from Jerusalem. They got to see this mighty working of God and the Holy Spirit, which is something they've never seen before, right? And many of them were involved in Phariseeism, right? Many of them were a part of all of that, either by way of being a Pharisee and a leader themselves, or under their influence. So they'd experienced false religion. They've been a part of false religion. And he's now telling them, look, we're not that. There's something different about what we are and what we have and what Jesus Christ has brought to us through eternal life. So he's telling them, remember, we cannot forget that this is all linked to his opening comments to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting my brethren. Okay, so you understand he's speaking to these Christians, these Jewish Christians that are now scattered abroad. And he says, don't be a Pharisee. That's vain. That's vanity. Remember, they stand in the corners of the streets and call out, oh God, I'm so glad I'm not a publican. I'm not a sinner like this man here. He said, verily they have their reward. So you see, he's saying true religion. He said that if you seem to be religious and you bridle not your tongue, but deceive your own heart, he says, this man's religion is vain. So this man's belief in God is vain. This man's state of mind and accountability to God and true godliness is vain. That's what he's saying. Now let me get to the second definition that Mr. Webster wrote down. He said religion, as distinct from theology, is godliness or real piety in practice, consisting in the performance of all known duties to God and fellow man, in obedience to divine command, or from love to God and his law. It's genuine, or I'm sorry, or from love to God and his law, period. There's a period there. I skipped over that. Now, so that leads us to verse 27. He says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. So that's our duty to man, right? And then he says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's our duty to God. And true godliness and piety and obedience to the divine commands of God and God's law. Now, I want you, this is the part that I skipped over the period to get to. I want you to notice in verse 27, he says, pure religion. Do you notice that? So I looked up the word pure, and guess what I found underneath the word pure? James 1:27. Good old Webster's Dictionary. Now, here's what pure says. Pure in this sense is genuine, real, true, incorrupt, unadulterated. And then he says, as pure religion, James 1:27. Now, listen. This is what we're talking about. We need to examine what we call religion to see if it's pure religion or vain religion. We have a contrast here. We have verse 26 saying, this man's religion is vain. And then he says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. So we need to take a step back and say, hey, am I really religious? Good question. Is my religion pure? Or is it vain? Can religion be vain? Okay? And let's step out on a little bit of a limb here. Would you say possibly that most religion is vain? Yeah. But as also, can also religion be pure? Yes. If you'd like to take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And we're just going to look at a little bit of this and kind of try to catch where James is coming from. And really where the Holy Spirit is coming from. Because we're trying again to impart wisdom and understanding and knowledge to us in this day and time. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 1, Jesus says this. He says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now he goes on, and of course, through verses 5 through 8, and continues to describe this. And then in verse 9, he begins to give us the model prayer. Okay? So, what's he talking about? He's talking about pure religion. Something that's genuine. Something that's real. Something that's true. Something that's incorrupt and unadulterated. I had the privilege of teaching on Monday in Bible college. We are going through our course, Introduction to Education. And I told them, I said, we were talking about philosophy of education and such and so forth. And I said, you know, the thing about it is one of the things that we have to understand is we need to be who we are all the time. Because, you know, philosophy literally means love of wisdom, but it's basically the study of why you believe what you believe. Okay? That's when you're looking into philosophy and such and so forth. And, you know, you have four core areas, right? You have, metaphysics, epistemology, axiology, and logic. Okay? Anybody ever take a philosophy class? Okay, those are fun things. Big words, big college words, okay? But basically it boils down to what is real, what is truth, what is of value, and what is the reasoning process? Okay, that's basically what those four big words mean. Okay, in ways, shapes, and we have Come on, wave at me, Mr. Philosophy Guy. You remember all this stuff from class? A little bit. Okay, good, good. Now, we have to understand, but in all of that, we just need to be real. I shouldn't be two different Eric Combs or three different Eric Combs, okay? I should be who I am all the time. I shouldn't be one way as a father and another way as a pastor and another way as a teacher and another way as an individual. You know, I should just be who I am all the time, right? Because that's genuine. I don't need to compartmentalize myself, right? I'd be one thing here, one thing. No, I'm not talking about how we deal with people, because we deal with people how they need to be dealt with, but I'm just talking about the core of who I am. I shouldn't be different. I should be genuine. I should have this pure religion. It shouldn't be vain religion. I shouldn't be a hypocrite or a Pharisee, which is a lot of times what people say, right? Oh, you preach one thing, but then you do another. Well, we shouldn't be like that, should we? Okay? So we need to be who we are. And I think James is encouraging people here. Look, bridle your tongue. Don't deceive yourself. He said, go and do the things that you're supposed to do. And be who you're supposed to be. Keep yourself unspotted by the world. Care for others. This is real religion. And what we have is real religion. It's pure religion. And we need to live it. We just need to be that way. And I think that's what James is encouraging these dear folks to do. Turn over to Matthew 23. Now, I could go through the whole chapter. I'm not going to go through the whole chapter. And I think I made reference to this last week. But I want you to see this, in part at least. Look at verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Okay, so I'm just going to kind of leave it off there. And if you go through and read the rest of that chapter, there are 7 times where Jesus says, whoa. Not like W-O-A-H, like, whoa, horsey. Okay. Right, Lorelai? Okay. No, but W-O-E. All right, whoa. And he says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Okay? And so he tells them, and again, the introduction is, you know, hey, do what they observe, or do what they say, but don't do what they do, because they say, and they do not. So here we are, in James, and he says to them, for if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer. This is important. This is vain religion if you do this. And if you don't adhere to these things and you don't do these things, your religion is vain. But if you do, then it's pure religion. And it, guess what? The best part is it's undefiled before God and the Father. So you understand that we want to be undefiled. We want to be in a good relationship, a right relationship with God. And guess what's going to hinder that? Vain religion. Vain religion. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, the children of Israel were also told to deal with this in a true sense. In verses 12 to 22, Moses wrote and said this. God said this, but Moses wrote it and said, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God. the earth also and all that therein is. Only the Lord had delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you, above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty, and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow. Amazing how he mentions that in Deuteronomy, and James mentions that here. The fatherless and the widows in their affliction. I thought that was very interesting. That Moses and God were saying this to the children of Israel way back in Deuteronomy. And now James, as the church is being scattered abroad to continue the gospel and to take it into the rest of the world, they're being told the same thing. He says here, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and him shalt thou serve, and thou to him thou shalt cleave. And swear by his name, he is thy praise, he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. It's really uncanny, isn't it? How all this distance can be between Deuteronomy and the book of James, and yet God is still saying the same thing to his people. He's still saying, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's how we need to live our lives today. So just a few things in the closing minutes here tonight. I think I'm doing great. Because I have about 15 more passages of scriptures to read in four and a half minutes. Hooray! I'm right on time. Now, look back at verse 26. He said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. We've gone through this in different sermons. But just for a quick review, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, give him a good tongue lashing. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. That was the Baptist version. Let me get back to the scriptures. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. What does James say? If you seem to be religious and bridleth not your tongue, you deceive your own heart, and your religion is in vain. Now, if that's not a picture of the Pharisees, I don't know what is. If you go back and compare it to what Jesus said in these woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites of Matthew 23, there are 7 of them. It's an interesting study. But you'll see that is talking about them not bridling their tongues and deceiving their own selves. That's called vain religion. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. We need to consider our words. And listen, I don't have time tonight to go through all the categories. But we need to make sure that we're undefiled before God in this area. It doesn't matter if you're undefiled before me. It doesn't matter if you're undefiled before your peers. It matters that we're undefiled before God. That's what matters. You see, the people, the Pharisees, right? The people looked up to them. They thought they were something special. They thought they were religious. Ooh. But God looked down and said, you whited sepulchers, you're full of dead men's bones. You understand what we're talking about. So this is what we have to understand. So we need to make sure we're careful about our mouth and our tongue. You know, we need to kind of think before we speak. We already talked about that, right? We're supposed to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So do you understand? James isn't just coming up with this stuff all of a sudden. He's already built up to this point to make these statements in verses 26 and 27. So you see, I'm trying to connect all the dots for you here. He's done this already. James was a good pastor. Now, one of the things that's lacking a lot of times in our lives is this thing of caring and being compassionate to others. Because we are so selfish and self-focused. So just as we close, I won't be long, I promise. But if you'll remember quickly, 1 Corinthians 13. I think that's enough said. Now, I could read Romans 13, and I could read Philippians chapter 2, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to read 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. A cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Do you see the vain religion and the pure religion here? Are you understanding it? Because that's exactly what James is saying. Paul said it here to the Corinth church in Corinth. What was the church in Corinth known as? A carnal church. Vain religion. Not pure religion. And so he's trying to teach them these things. And then he says, and though I bestow all my goods and to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but then when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. We need to be like Jesus. Was Jesus compassionate? Yes. When he saw the multitudes, he had pity on them because they were like sheep having no shepherd. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He left the 99 to go seek the one. You understand that Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. That's pure religion. To have this compassion and this care and this love, and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I have more verses to read to you. But I hope you understand, this is not a difficult subject, right? It's a contrast between vain religion and pure religion. We need to live our lives in a genuine fashion, believing in God, not hearers only, but doers. And I don't support this movement. What would Jesus do? Okay. But we need to be like Jesus. That's pure religion. In 2 Peter, he writes and says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. What was Peter talking about? He was talking about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I hope that tonight was something of a bit of a conclusion for chapter one for you, but also a reminder that we're just not religious people. We're not just religious nuts. We are people that, as Webster says, believe God. We believe in the being of God, the perfections of God, that it's our obligation to obey. I hope you feel that way. And I hope it's genuine, real, true, incorrupt, and unadulterated. It's pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father.